Discuss the one of the most wonderful chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, every chapter is wonderful, but 13th chapter is, I think, is very, very wonderful. It's called Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga, Yoga, Nama, Trayodasha, Adhyayaha. It is the division between the cultivator and the field which he cultivates. The word Kshetra is a most marvelous word. We know, we are familiar with Punya Kshetra, we call a holy place, a holy field. Now, our idea is slightly mistaken. You go to a holy place and you become holy. The idea is, it is a Kshetra. Yes, there is more holiness there, like a very fertile field. A Punya Kshetra is an extraordinarily fertile field. But if you just go there and sit there, nothing much would happen. At least you have to be ready to enjoy receptivity. Fitness for receptivity should be there. But there is a deeper meaning. Ramakrishna used to say that a holy place is like a well that had been dug. There is water underneath, but someone takes the trouble, digs it, a well. But automatically if you go, the water will not flow into your mouth. You have to procure one rope, one bucket, and then put it on the wheel, then lower the bucket, and that is easier part, then pull up the bucket. That is the harder part. After that it is easy. So what is the meaning of a field? That which should be cultivated. It's a beautiful song in Bengali by a great saint called Ramprasad. Monare Krishi Kaj Janona. এমন মানব জমিন রইল পতি আবাদ করলে ফল তো সোনা. This human life is a most wonderful field. Now this word Kshetra has a very special significance as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned. The whole Bhagavad Gita starts with this word. Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre. So those two words themselves are very significant. What is a kshetra? It is a field for cultivation. But what type of kshetra is that? It is dharma kshetra. Means what? It is a very fertile field. It is not a barren land. It is a most beautiful, valuable land. But it is called Dharma Kshetra. What is the meaning of Dharma? That whatever you sow, it will give you only exactly that result. You sow Dharma, you will get Punya and Sukha. You sow Papa, Adharma, then you reap Papa and suffering. Papa means suffering, not Telugu Papa. That is also suffering only. That's why they say three types of rings are there. Do you know that? Dating ring, wedding ring, and
suffering.
Usually this Papa also will come only. Okay. Dharma Kshetra means, that is why the very beginning itself, the whole Bhagavad Gita is a marvelous beginning with this word Kshetra. And look at the end. yatra yatra, where there, wherever there is Arjuna, Vijaya, wherever there is Krishna, there will be all the wonderful fruits, Srihi, Bhutihi, Nitihi, all these wonderful fruits will be there. What does it mean? There must be self-effort, there must be cultivation. Sri Krishna represents inspiration and giving the result. Arjuna represents Yatra Partho Dhanuttharaha. Wherever there is self-effort, but that self-effort should be intelligent, well-directed, properly cultivated self-effort. Otherwise, mad fellows are also doing lot of self-effort from morning till evening. No, going round and round. It is self-effort, but it is a useless effort. So dharma kshetra means the kshetra has got a quality called dharma. That is to say, it will give exactly whatever we sow. That would be the result. That is why the next word, what is that? Kurukshetra. Kuru means do something. Sanskrit word kuru means do. It is a commandment. It is an imperative. No choice is given. You do it. If you do not do it, what happens? If you do something, you get the result. If you don't do, what happens? That is illogical. If you don't do, then you will suffer. Yes? If you eat, your hunger will be removed. If you do not eat, nothing happens, you will suffer. Yes? If you just sit down, life will not allow you to sit down. It will drag you and make you do something good. So what is the meaning of kshetra? The very question is so interesting, you know. Who was telling this? Who was putting this question?
Arjuna.
No. Dhritarashtra was asking Sanjaya. And Dhritarashtra was a fellow, complete, is it Dhritarashtra, stubbornly holding on to this concept of to his son and to his kingdom and all that. He is not about to give it up. That is why Dhrita means, you know, kambali nahi chodti type of person. So he is putting, but even he, though he was blind, he knows that this is life is a dharma kshetra. So you do dharma, the result will be dharma. You do adharma, the result will be inevitably suffering. He knew it, but yet hoping against hope, maybe by some fluke, my children might win the war, might enjoy this. No, it is not going to happen. His unconscious is lot of wisdom. It told him already. It is a foregone conclusion. His wife was much better. Yes, when Duryodhana went, he said, yato dharmaha tato jayaha. Where there is dharma, there will be victory. Not otherwise. She told him plainly, because he went for her blessings. She blessed him this way, that if you are dharmic, you have nothing to worry. If you are adharmic, no one can help you. Of course, Duryodhana himself knows. You know, Mahabharata is a wonderful thing. With his thighs broken, he was lying down. It is said, someone went and asked him, oh prince, you knew this was going to be the inevitable result. Then he said, I know all this. Janami dharmam nachami pravruttihi. I have absolutely no desire to do it. Janami adharma. I know what is adharma. Name nivruttihi. I cannot help my. Most of us are under this condition. We know what is right, what is not right, but we are under the grip of something so powerful that we are unable to get out. Now, that's where the Lord is going to help us. What did you say? You are under the grip of something beyond your help, someone as it were possessed you, and then not allowing you to do what you wish to do. Now, he says, what is that that possesses us? We all have big explanation, Maya. Wonderful, everybody knows, even a child knows Maya. Why did you eat so many chocolates and get in stomachache? Maya. Grown-ups are no different from it. Yeah. We use sophisticated words, you know, one wife took her husband to a doctor and he examined him because he was not able to do anything, always lying on the bed. The doctor examined him thoroughly and said, you fellow, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you, you are plumb lazy. The man said, doctor, now you give me a big technical word for it. I have to tell it to my wife. This is what I am suffering from. Now, where is Maya? Our own karma. Do you see the problem now? Life is a field. We are the cultivators. This field is a dharmic field. That means we have the freedom to choose what to sow, and accordingly only we cultivate. The whole of Hinduism is based upon this one fundamental principle of the law of karma. You believe in God? Yes. Do you believe in God? No. Do you believe in this life? Yes. Do you believe in the afterlife? No. Don't worry. What you believe is immaterial to you or to me or to anyone. But what you do, that is the most material thing. Only when we want to explain some things which are not related, directly traceable in this life, we need to either believe or to fast birth. But otherwise in this life what we are, a lot of it is explained through our own past actions, right? So, this 13th chapter is naturally related to the previous chapter. What was that chapter? Bhakti Yoga. In Bhakti Yoga, the Lord tells around 35 divine qualities we need to cultivate. Around 30 plus. Like how you divide the Sanskrit words? Some people count it as 35 qualities. And that is what is called the field of life. In this kshetra, we are supposed to cultivate. And then we reap the results, which is punya in this world, punya in this other world, swargaloka. And if we are intelligent enough, we are going to be completely liberated from this circle of birth and death, janana marana samsara rupa. Now that's what he is going to make it clear. Why is it making clear? Okay, I have to cultivate 35 qualities, but how do I go about it? Then he says that this whole life is a field. When we open our eyes and look at this world, then we see only two things in this world. When we open our eyes and look at this world, we see only two things. What are those two things? No. That is a different analysis. I and everything else. I and everything else. I is only one. Everything else, maybe billions and billions of human beings, mosquitoes, insects, trees, plants, anything. Billions, countless. How many stars are there? Do you know how many stars are there? How many galaxies are there? You cannot count. Billions and billions of stars, much more powerful than our Prabhu Teri Mahima, Parama Apara. Who comes to an end saying, counting? Nobody can create. But it doesn't matter. There are only two things in this world, I and everything else. And I am the cultivator. and everything else which is not I is a different fields to be cultivated. All these different fields, millions and millions, are subclassified again into three categories. So we have got three fields to be used to cultivate so that for our own happiness. Three fields. What are the three fields? One is the body. Second is the mind. And the third is everything else. Three fields. All are three fields. Now cultivate. Cultivate the body. Do you cultivate the body? What are we doing from morning till evening? You know, our first class, idli sambar, what is it?
Cultivating.
It is fertilizer. Yes, nothing but? Yes, fertilizer. But fertilizer is useful only when there is some seed in the soil, isn't it? So, if a poisonous snake, if you give idli sambar, what does it do? It produces more poison. But if a mango tree is given fertilizer, what does it, what happens? It produces more luscious mango fruits. So first there should be seeds. And what are these seeds? These seeds are special hybrid seeds to be cultivated in the field called the mind. Mind, I said, is another field?
Yes.
That is the real soil. What we give through the body is a fertilizer.
Yes.
So, already the seeds must be, we must be a very good farmer. You know what he does? He chooses the best seeds. Now, a seed is meant for cultivation. We all know that. What do we want to get? If you sow a seed, what do you get? Fruits. What are flowers? What type of fruits you want to get? What are the fruits that ultimately we desire? According to... No, not so fast. There are four fruits. Yeah. Like elementary school students, first we have to cultivate three fruits, dharma, artha and dharma. Only after that, after a long experience, then we desire sincerely the other fruit, ultimate fruit, parama nishresa. What is that? Moksha. So, we have to sow the seeds which will produce this dharma, artha and kama. Now I said, all the, there are two things in the world. First I said, what is that? I and everything else. And then I said, I am the cultivator and everything else is a kshetra. All these kshetras can further be subclassified into three categories. What did I say?
Body.
One is the body, one is the mind, and third is everything else. So, what is this cultivation? It is called developing right relationships. What is my relationship with my own body? What is my relationship with my own mind? What is the relationship with everything else in this world? My whole life's fruit, the experience, ultimate judgmental values. There are only two judgmental values, whatever we do. What is that? Sukha and dukkha. Whatever you do. People get married for the sake of sukha. They get divorced for even more sukha. Simple. Our whole life, this is what is happening. What we do, how we react, everything is only for these fruits, nothing else. Even a worldly person, he only wants unending happiness. But the only problem is, he doesn't understand what is the proper instrument for unending happiness. Anyway, I'm going to put the question to you. What is the proper instrument for having unending happiness?
Mind.
The answer is no instrument. An instrument is by its very nature
limitation.
Remove all instruments, you will have unending happiness. That is, you see a glimpse of it in deep sleep. No problem at all. No wife problem, no husband problem, no religious differences. No, that's why we all love to sleep. We all love to sleep because that is a time we do not need any solutions, because there is no problem at all. But what we want is to be conscious and have no
problems.
That is called spiritual life. So ultimately, two judgmental values. We judge everything by only these are called judgmental values. Final judgmental values. Sukha and dukkha. Will this object give me sukha or dukkha? If it gives dukkha, I try to avoid it. If it gives me happiness, I go towards it. That is called pravritti. If it gives me unhappiness, I go away from it. That is called nivritti. When in pravritti, we always discriminate which gives me less unhappiness and more happiness. In nivritti, we run away from all the instruments, because everything ultimately is an instrument. Body is an instrument, mind is an instrument, everything else is nothing but an instrument only. So there are three types of kshetras. Body is a kshetra, mind is a kshetra, everything else is a kshetra. Now, how do I cultivate? What is a kshetra? First of all, we said it is a dharma kshetra. Secondly, it is a Kurukshetra. So, how can I cultivate the most wonderful things by sowing the seeds? And that goes by the term of developing relationships. Developing relationships. We have a relationship with everything in this world. We have a relationship with the carpet, relationship with the chair, relationship with the house, relationship with the car. There is something wonderful I want to share with you. You know, when I was in Chirapunji, I learned this lesson. There we had a jeep, old jeep, many years old, Mahindra, old jeep. Now, there was an old driver called Enoch. Now, when he sits in the jeep, it somehow runs. Though it is very old, somehow it runs. When someone else takes over, it could stop somewhere. Now, many times I wondered, it is the same car. But if Enoch sits there, somehow he developed a relationship with it. My old friend, our ashrama is only a few minutes. Will you please start? Immediately it starts. The other one, stopper only. You know, this is a theory, and I cannot prove, nobody has proved with scientific experiments. If you love some object, I'm not talking about living things, if you love anything, it could be harmonium, it could be carpet, it could be anything, somehow you can squeeze more happiness out of it than anything else. I don't know whether I convey the idea to you. But somehow, something happens as though it comes to life. And we know it doesn't have life, but somehow it works. It may be we know, if we love, we know how to make it work better.
Yes.
Or maybe something takes over and really it does some miracle. We don't know. But the point is the relationship. This is what we are telling. Now, let us, before going further, let us take an example, because that's what we are going to discuss. Now, even a saint, let us say living saint, Jivan Mukta, also has the same thing, body and mind and this world, is it not? Now, what would be his relationship with these three?
Brahman.
No, Brahman is the ultimate, the relationship in this world living.
Detached and loving.
You know, first of all, every saint loves his body. Loving his body, that's where we are going to come. Cultivation comes. He is like an expert cultivator. He knows how to cultivate his body. He knows avad korle phal to shona. If he cultivates properly. Manore krishi kas jano. You do not know how to farm. You are farming. You are a traditional farmer. We are all farmers. From birth to death, we are all what?
Farmers.
We are sowing the seeds. We are giving the fertilizers. We are giving the pesticides. Do you know what pesticides you will give? When you have headache, what do you do?
Tablets.
What is a tablet? Whatever, you know, goes for improving the soil condition is called fertilizer. And whatever to ward off all this, you know, rose-eating beetle, Chinese beetle and all those things. These are what? What do you use?
Pesticides.
Yeah. These pills and other things to get rid of these problems. Is it right? How does a saint, how does he cultivate? You know, he loves the body. He loves the mind. He loves the whole universe. You know why? The first thing is, as I said, what did I say? Cultivation means cultivating the right relationships. What are those right relationships? What is his relation with the body? The first thing he says, this is not my house. This is a house given by whom?
God.
By God himself for me to live temporarily. Of course, I have to pay some tax. Even God will not give me free. We have to pay tax. What is the tax you pay? Every day you have to feed it, look after it. These are all taxes. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, if you occupy this house called body, then you have to pay taxes. Yes. Otherwise, God will take it away. Yes. And he doesn't go to any court because he is the court. Yeah. Sometimes I compare God to, you know, the roadside, if you park the car wrongly, what are those fellows who put the chain and trip it away?
Towing
fellows? On the spot, he will tow it away. So this is very important. Though I am putting it in a funny form, this is the absolute truth. It is not my body. God has lent me. I am only a caretaker. And then he looks after this house to the best possible way. It is said in the Gita itself, there are so many stupid people, they torture me with the so-called their idea of tapasya, karshayanta, sarirastima, in the 16th chapter of the Gita it comes. They just torture me. They don't give me food. They don't give me medication. They think they are doing tapasya, but they are not doing so. They are only torturing me. This intrigued me for some time. How do we torture God? What it means is, if we block the manifestation of our divinity, that is called torturing God. We don't allow our divinity to come up. What is the divinity? In the form of Sat means health. In the form of Chit means right understanding. And in the form of happiness. So if I am suffering, how can I be happy? If I am not, I make this body weak, how can I have any knowledge? How can I have any Sat? It is not possible. So this is what the Lord is telling. To intelligent, discriminative, selective way, Tapasya is very good, but it has to be done in the very discriminating way. Otherwise, some people indiscriminately will go on doing something and they suffer. They make other people also suffer. I have seen so many people like that. Just to give you an example, how stupid one could be. And I am talking about devotees, not about worldly people. So suppose there is a devotee and he says, I trust God. And then he has some sickness. Why don't you take medication? No, I trust God. And then what happens? They progressively, they become weaker and weaker. And then the other people, how could they go on looking when this fellow is not even able to get up? Have you not come across such cases? Non-cooperative type of people. And all goes in the name of God. I rely upon God. Like that. God has given us the understanding for self-effort. So whatever we have to do, we must do. Sri Ramakrishna, when he was suffering, somebody suggested, why don't you pray to God? He said, no, God has created the disease. God has created the medicine. God also created the physician. Let us first to take help of the physician, take the medication prescribed by the physician. And if it doesn't help, then of course we have to pray to God. That is the idea. So a saint always respects the body, always reveres the body. Doesn't mean we are also revering the body, but we are not using the body. What are we doing? We are misusing the body. From morning, you see, whenever you put, we use it as a dustbin, huge dustbin. You know, so many things are there. No, morning you had eaten so much. And something is left out. He says, why should it go waste? Let me put it in this dustbin. Who suffers? Who has to carry it afterwards? Yes, I was joking in the morning, you know. From morning till evening, I am practicing forbearing. Then he says, Swami, you are forbearing. What are you forbearing? You know, morning they gave me this much breakfast. They forced me to eat. Afterwards, I am bearing it. Until it is digested, I have to go on bearing it wherever I go. What a forbearing sight. And before 12 o'clock, people think, Swami, are you starving? So, do we get the point? What is the point? When we look at intelligent spiritual aspirants, how do they lead the life? This is what we look for as an example. How do they look upon their bodies? How do they look upon their minds? How do they look upon everything else? They forge a special relationship. That is called cultivating. Because my cultivating a relationship with everything else, that has so much of impact upon my cultivating what I am supposed to. Is it not? So if the body is healthy, it is a great help. Because the body is the first instrument for the cultivation of dharma. Shariramadhyam khalu dharma sadhanam. If the body is weak, that's why Swami Vivekananda, what did he say? I want people with muscles of iron and nerves of steel. Why did he say? Is he asking us to become sandals? No. Our misery is because of our weakness. We have been overcome by all these foreign hordes. What? Because of what? Weakness of the body and weakness of the mind. That is why he said, we must be very intelligent. So how do we, the first thing that we cultivate, what is it? Body. When the body is healthy, you notice that our mind becomes cheerful. Have you noticed it? If you have headache, look at the world in one way. If the headache is removed, then you look upon the same world in a different way. That is why the first thing we have to cultivate is this body. How do we cultivate? Detailed guidance is given to us in the Gita itself, in the later chapters especially. Here he gives some mental, what seeds we have to sow in our mind, certain qualities. But later on, from the 17th chapter onwards, ahara and yajna, dana, tapaha, everything is divided into sattvika, rajasika and tamasika type. Crystal clear instructions are given. No subject is left in darkness or doubt. Very, very detailed instructions are given. That's why Bhagavad Gita is most marvelous scripture, if we understand it. Okay, but they say the first instrument is, kshetra is the body. What is the next instrument?
Mind.
It is even more important because my relationship both with the body and my relationship with the outside world and my relationship with my own self. Let me talk a little bit about this aspect. Now you think, relationship, I understand, not with the other neighbor or with another country, another person. What is this, Swami, you call your own relationship with your own, with yourself? Then you are two? Yes, we are two. We have got two beings residing in this body. The mind has got always that understanding. We have got two. What is it? An opinion about our own selves. Each one of us have an opinion about our own selves. Some people suffer from inferiority complex. Some people suffer from superiority complex. You know, one fellow went to a doctor. Doctor, a psychologist, psychiatrist. Psychiatrist asked him, what is the problem with you? He said, doctor, I suffer from inferiority complex. Please help me to get rid of it. So the doctor treated him for 2 years and then suddenly, I am terminating the sessions, but I am not going to treat you anymore. Hello, ghabra gaya. He said, but I am not cured. Doctor said, I just now discovered after 2 years, you are not suffering from inferiority complex. You are inferior. You can't change it if you are inferior. If you are suffering from inferiority complex, yes. So you know how many ways we suffer from linguistic opinions, discriminations, racial discrimination, and gender discrimination, religious discrimination, political discrimination. So many discriminations are there. It is all because of my own relationship with my own self. So what should we do? We must cultivate a healthy, positive, optimistic, but realistic relationship. It must be optimistic, but it must be realistic. Do you get the point? What is optimistic, realistic? Optimistic means looking everything in a positive light. But we must also be realistic. That means what, we have to accept some certain realities. I will always hope for the best, but sometimes it may not be turn out as I expect. Then that is real. Realism is, yes, sometimes it won't turn out to be all right. Murphy's law. Mm. What is Murphy's law? You are all IT people, you should know what is Murphy's law.
Anything that can go wrong.
If it will go wrong.
Yes. And many, if many things can go wrong, all of them will go wrong. Yes, if something can go wrong, how do we know that it is true? Because it goes
wrong at the worst time.
Simple. We have to accept this fact. That is called you don't lose your optimism, but you are good enough to understand that to be a realist, not a pessimistic type of person. Unrealistic. Many of us have got very unrealistic opinions. One fellow, he was initiated. Immediately after initiation, he went to the guru. Of 5 minutes after initiation, he said, "Now that I am a realized soul, what shall I do?" 5 minutes after initiation, now that I am a realized soul, what is my duty in life? There are so many people are there like that. Many of us are there like that. In fact, most of us are like that. You know, we are devotees. What does it mean? Does it mean that you have employed God to watch over you all the time? What does it mean? What does it mean to be a devotee of God? It means, O Lord, whatever happens, I will accept it as your will. Is it not? Previously, I was not able to accept, but now I should be able to accept it because I believe in God. He knows what is good for me. Therefore, whatever happens is good for me. That is called devotion to God. Otherwise, it is commanding God. So, this is the first thing that we have to cultivate. The mind is our own relationship with our own self. So, there are two steps here, according to psychology. I am using interchangeably both philosophy and also psychology. What is it? The first step is to find out what you are right now and accept. Because there is no way you can go back and say, oh, previous birth I have done something wrong. There is no doubt. But what is the point of it now? Now we are exactly like this. Some people are there, oh Swamiji, if only I had met you 20 years before. No, this is another time. If only I met Ramakrishna. If only I met Swami Vivekananda. This is one of the problems. If I met Ramakrishna, this is the most unfortunate event that could ever happen in the annals of history. His hands will be paining, my cheeks also would be paining. Is it not true? No, he is also saved, I am also saved. So, let us accept who we are. We do not accept ourselves. That is the biggest problem today. We wish to be in someone else's shoes. That is what is called plastic surgery and all those things. That is, we want to change. Why do you want to change? God has given you this most precious thing, field. He has given you the most wonderful field of all the fields in this universe. Do you know what is the most valuable field? Human birth. Manushyatvam, mukshyatvam, mahapurushasam. Trayame vaitat, daivanugraha, hedukam. Only by God's grace we can get this human. You could have been a mosquito, you could have been anything else. Octopus, cockroach, anything, you know, it is there. But it will also evolve. We have come here. This is to recognize the value of our life, how happy we would be. This first, related to that is accepting that, you see, we will have problems. Everybody will have problems. But compared to what people are going through, this Libya, Syria and South Africa, we should be in high heaven, is it not? If you are transported from that situation into your present situation, how do you feel? And yet we are here, and we don't appreciate what we have. So first thing is, you understand who you are with all your positive and negative and what we call in English language, warts and all. And accept. That is the, without this step taking place, the next step will not take place. What is the next step? Sit and say, this is me. What can I do? Now, how can I better my life? The whole life is nothing but constant self-improvement. This whole philosophy nowadays is being put in the form of beautiful stories. Who moved my cheese? A goldfish and the shark. Have you heard that book? Goldfish and a similar story. How a goldfish wants to become a shark. Shark means not destroying others. Shark means self-dependent, not dependent upon anything else. So how to improve our life constantly? That is what this sadhaka and this Ramprasad is telling. Munare Krishitas Janona. If only you knew, you could have harvested gold itself. Many ways this kind of songs are dubudubudu, rupshagare amarman, talatal, patal khunjile, pabire, prema ratmadhan. Many other. Nama japana kaun? Kyun? Chod diya. Krodhana choda, jhootana choda, satya vachana kyun? Chod diya. These are all most marvelous psychological facts. We are not talking about God, we are talking about improving our own happiness, present happiness. If you improve, who gets the benefit? You only get the benefit, not anybody else. Self, constant attempt at self-improvement, that is called evolution. Not only biological evolution, but psychological and then spiritual evolution. Okay. So what is the first step? Understand and accept oneself. What is the second step? Find out what can I do? How can I improve my situation from what I am, not from where you are? I wish I were in your shoes. That is useless. This is me. How can I improve myself? This is the best way of cultivating the best relationship with my own self. And then only you will have, with this lens, if you look at the body, okay, here is my body. What can I do? If it has a defect, let us try to remove it. If it is not removable, let me learn how to live with it. Helen Keller, you know her life? And who can complain after that? Okay. So body cultivation, and then the mind also should have, really, even we have relationship with God. Do you, have you ever thought about it? There is one way of understanding this, which is a very classical way, relationship with God. The pancha bhavas, what are they? Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Mathura. This is a very positive way. But Hinduism goes in very much further. Joseph, you are with me? How to, no? Shanta, peaceful attitude, servant attitude, friendly attitude, then parental attitude, and then lover and the beloved attitude. But according to Hinduism or Vedanta, that we can also cultivate what is called negative intensive relationship with God. When you desire, you know, the worldly object, that is called bondage. But when you desire God, that is called negative intensive relationship, even more effective than positive. So gopis attained Sri Krishna or God through kama. Kamsa and others have attained through bhaya. Shishupala and Dantavatra attained to God through krodha, anger. And some others attained through lobha, intense greediness. Who can satisfy the greatest greedy person? Only God can satisfy. So, if someone has these so-called qualities dominating his mind, there is a great hope for him to attain God, to progress in spiritual life, provided he yokes all these emotions with That is the secret. Any emotion, even friendliness, you are friendly. Instead of being friendly with somebody, useless person, be friendly with God. You know, when we are in Belurma, the first lesson we are taught is, be friendly with the two people in Belurma. One is the person who is looking after the shrine kitchen, and another is who is looking after the general kitchen. If you can be friendly with in charge of both these, your life will be the sweetest life throughout your stay in Belurma. So, relation, cultivation of relation, it must have, first of all, the purpose must be clear. And when we are healthy, both body and mind is healthy, the purpose will be clear. So, even we have to cultivate a relationship with God. What type of relationship? Before that you have to understand that what type of relationship I am having with the world. I will come back to that before I explain this. First, about God. Do you think you have a relationship with God? First of all, is it a positive relationship or is it a negative relationship? What does that mean? That do you really want, do you love God? Or you want to employ Him as your personal bodyguard 365 days? Or a servant without pay, you fetch me this, you fetch me that, you fetch me the other thing. This is what we say, thou, thou. Mm-hmm. You know, thou, thou, Joseph, you know. Who is telling? God is telling. I mean, Jolchi. Because everybody is thou, thou. Nobody says, I give you. Everybody says, give me, give me, give me. I am burning with the cry that everybody wants me to give. Nobody wants to give me anything. Not that I need. At least courtesy, you know. And the worst part of it is that we are getting everything from Him only. Did I tell you the story? A man, Bengali devotee, used to cross Ganga every day by boat. So he was not showing any reverence to Ganga. You know, one day he felt very guilty. And oh mother, I'm crossing every day. No, I cannot tolerate it. I want to give you something. So he opened his purse, took out 10 rupee note, was Lema. So take this offering, oh mother. And he threw it on the water. And then said, Dema Prashad. Immediately he lifted it up and put it in his purse. That is why everything that we get from God in the form of different elements or gods. And if we do not offer them with reverence, we are called thieves. Stena tai dattana bhunte saha stena evaha. A person who eats, enjoys without offering to God what he received from God, should be considered a thief. So the concept of yajna, whole concept of yajna is not to give something, but to express our gratitude to God. That's all. Now, coming back to this relationship business. Now you say, what type of, oh Lord, I want to love you. That is devotion. But there is sakama and nishkama. Okay, like a child, I am a child. Please give me what is necessary. A devotee will never command God, I want, you give me this, you give me that. What would be a devotee's prayer? Whatever you think is necessary and good for me, please take care of me. Like a child, it depends on the parents. But a time will come, is called Nishkama Bhakti. What is Nishkama? And he says, I will do my best. Whether you take care of me or not, I don't care. You gave me already a lot, and I will do my best. So, what am I talking about? We must cultivate. God is also a field to be cultivated. Now, what did I say? There are three types of fields. One is the body,
mind.
One is the mind, the third is everything else. Now, where does God fall?
Everything.
Into which category?
Everything.
All three.
But as though God is
somewhere
out. He is there in the Vedanta center, he is there in the temple, he is there here, he is there, is it not? In the beginning, we see God only in a particular place. That is why he also falls within that third category called the world. Now we have to develop a proper relationship with God. Now, I am going to tell you a wonderful psychological secret. Our relationship with God doesn't differ from our relationship with our own body, our relationship with our own mind, and our relationship with the entire world. If we are what is called spongers, understand spongers? If this is our relationship with the body and with the mind and with the outside world, our relationship with God also will fall into that category. But if we want to change, we have to change our perspective, entire perspective. So there are three types of such perspectives. Easier for you, that's why I'm saying 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, like that. Very easy to understand. Mathematical calculation. What is it? If you observe human relationship, like Bhartruhari, then we have three relationships. The lowest relationship is that I want something, but I will not give you anything. Higher than this is, I will give you something, you will also give me something. But the highest category is that I do not wish anything, but I will only give you. Now, all of us fall into one of these categories. If we fall into the first category, no problem, you are fine as you are. If you fall into the second category, you have to promote yourself into the first category. What is it? Oh Lord, that you are all-knowing, you are all-powerful, that I will not ask you anything. But you, if you wish to look after me, look after me. That is the effort. But if we belong to the lower category, everything only for me, and nothing I will give in exchange, that is called worldly attitude. Now, spiritual progress also falls into these three categories. When our devotion is in the lowest class, we go on praying, so, O Lord, you give me this, give me that, give me that, give me the other thing. When we become a little more advanced, progress, then what do we say? Oh Lord, I want to give you something. However little it is, I want to give you something. It may be a food, patram, pushpam, palam, koyam. It doesn't matter. I must tell you something very interesting, you know. Some devotees come to Vedanta Center in UK. So they heard this, that we should never go to the temple without taking anything. So, they don't bring anything from outside. But after entering into the Vedanta Center, they look for something which they should take to the shrine. So, some rose is there, they will pluck it. Happily, they go and offer it. They are completely satisfied. We have given you something. How much one can deceive oneself? Yeah. So, the second category, when we progress, we say that the Lord is giving me everything. What do I lose if I give something back to the Lord? Now, that same attitude is expressed in the outside world. Let me share something of I have with someone else. I am not going to give everything, but a little bit of it, a small percentage of it. Let me donate to some poor people, to some needy people, or whatever it is. But when we become the highest class devotees, then what happens? Then what happens? I have actually nothing to offer to God. That's why I offer the whole thing to God. That means what? Oh Lord, there is nothing which belongs to me, including myself. I belong to you. This is the highest type of attitude. That is what we have to cultivate with relationship to others also. Now I said, for body, in the beginning we say, I want only to squeeze everything from you, whether you are suffering or not. If you give suffering to the body, who will suffer? Ultimately, we are all abusing in so many ways. Let me give you just a few examples. This is all related to 13th chapter. Don't think I am going on. It's all related to the cultivation of our life. See, supposing, now, as we are now, how much time do you sleep? Do you give enough sleep for the body? Think over it. You know, if you are watching cricket at midnight and then get a bleary eye, and then so many people create accidents, do you know that? Because of that. And then how much, what type of books you are reading, what type of conversations you are having with others, etc., etc. Time and energy. If we are misusing or paying more attention to other things, is it cultivating well or cultivating ill? Do you see the point? So this is one example. So we should be able to see, am I abusing my body? The body is craving for nice water. When you are thirsty, is it craving for Coca-Cola? Tell me. Or is it craving for tea, for coffee? It's not craving. It is craving only for pure water. You know, have you not noticed? When you drink pure water, how much satisfaction it gives. Is it not right?
Yes.
Okay. Then, so many other ways we are abusing it, you know that how much unhealthy food, junk food we throw into it. One fellow, he was inventing junk food. So he wanted to invent exotic names. He was a computer savvy. So he fed the information. So please suggest some names for the food I want to promote. Out came the result. Junk, rubbish, dirt. Names for promoting. All this, any type of thing, that is one. What about activity? There is a time for activity. There is a time for rest and sleep. There is a time for entertainment. That's why the Lord says, I'm not talking. I'm talking ahara. What is that? Vihara. Yukta ahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasya yukta swapna avabodhasya yogo bhavati dukkha yukta ahara. Then vihara. Vihara means relaxation, entertainment. How much time do you want to be entertained? What type of entertainment you want? Is not the body being abused there? With the emotion, do you know what I am not only talking about the mind. If you are watching a violent movie, what is it not agitating our body? When a terrible scene unnecessarily you are watching, is it not creating your heart beats fast? You know, they made an experiment. You should know about this. What is the effect of particular types of movies on human beings? So, this experiment is done secretly. They have not told the audience. What they did, they implanted cameras focusing on the audience. And they were showing scenes, very violent scenes. Whenever any violent scene is being shown, the people unconsciously, you know, gripping their seats and glaring at it, some people are sweating. You could see how much effect is coming. After watching such a thing, when the body goes out, what is the effect upon it? And if it happens day after day, what is going to happen? Have you ever thought about it? This is called abusing the body. So many healthy, wonderful rules. Early to bed and early to rise. Of course, you know, now because there is electricity and also because of some reasons, you can take a little bit of liberty. But not so much that you can abuse your body. If you abuse, then what is your relationship with your own body? You see, we are all very familiar with certain terms. Child abuser. Are you familiar? How many people have told you that you are the greatest abuser? You may be the greatest abuser of your own self. How many people told you? This is what we are doing in our day to day. We don't have time for anything. So beautifully expressed in a Bengali song. Ami shokal kaje paye shomai tomare dakite paine. This is a what is called drastic reality we are facing. So we must have correct attitude towards the body because it is a temple of God. And incidentally, do you know that Indian temples are based upon a model? Which model? Human body. Has anyone told you? Every Hindu temple is based upon human model. Every human being has got 7 chakras. And you will see Srirangam temple is the biggest example of it. 7 what is called compound walls. They represent 7 chakras. And then there is a Dhvajastambha. You know Dhvajastambha? Flag pole you call it. What does the flag pole stand for? Ahankar. That is why or in South Indian tradition, in case you don't know, some of you may know, all your offerings must be given there. And then you make prostration. Have you seen priests prostrating in front of the Dhvajastambha? Because you are not allowed to prostrate inside. Because you are not there.
Yeah.
You are having darshan of God. You leave everything there. Only when you see God is there, I am here, you prostrate. When you go inside, darshan means what? Direct experience. Then who is there to prostrate? Whom are you going to prostrate? Is the idea. That is why there is no place inside for prostrations. You just go in the line and then see. If you go to Tirupati, you understand. 1 second darshana is more than enough. Oh, oh. The idea is you don't do anything excepting you enjoy the Lord there. That is the idea. But the temples, all the temples, Hindu temples, are modeled upon the human body. Oh, what a wonderful thing. The Sahasrara, that is what is called the Garbha Mandira or the Sanctum Sanctoria, shrine room, is incidental. This body is a human body is a temple of God. So we must have that kind, because in this temple resides. Who resides?
God.
Yes. The Lord is there. The Lord is sitting himself inside the Garbhagriha, inside the heart. Ishvara Sarva Bhutana Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayam Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rodhani Maya. The Lord is sitting there. And that is why Holy Mother used to respect everyone. She will never allow anybody to put anybody's foot on even an animal like cat or dog. You can't put your foot on the head. Do you know why? Because head is the vasasthana for the Lord. Intelligence. He is shining in the form of intelligence. That's why, you know, when you forget something, you do like this. You don't do like this. Why? You are jogging the sleeping Lord. Sometimes, you know, unfortunately, he is not there. Knock, knock, apply, apply. Okay. This is the relationship we have to develop with the body. And as I said, even more important, how we look upon the body, how we look upon the Lord, how we look upon the whole world depends on the second kshetra. What is that kshetra?
Mind.
So what did I say? First you understand and accept yourself, and then you try to, if we have that attitude, then everything falls into nice place, like GPS. It recognizes where from you are starting, and then it will guide you to your final destination. GPS. Guru Parampara System. How wonderful is it? Guru Parampara System. GPS. Okay. If we will talk about the mind, because there are certain qualities which we will go through tomorrow. But let me talk about this wonderful thing. We want, all of us want Sachidananda. The mind is the root cause, both for our unhappiness as well as this way it is said, mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo. This mind is the most important field for cultivation. Everything depends upon this mind. That is why this mind control is called yoga. Yogaha chitta vritti nirodhaha. Controlling means not suppression. Controlling means cultivating. You cultivate this mind with divine qualities slowly. So the progress always happens from tamas to rajas to sattva. Always this is the krama, this is the order, from the lower to the higher. That's why this mind is the most wonderful thing in the world. Now that is what this 13th chapter is trying to tell us. What is it telling? Kshetra. Everything is a kshetra. I am the kshetrajna. And here, the most wonderful point, it is the key to what I had already talked all this time. What is that secret? He says, how many kshetras are there? Numberless. My body is first, my mind is second, and then outside, how many?
Infinite one.
Numberless. You can't count them. All are kshetras. That means all will yield or can yield, if we cultivate properly, the most wonderful fruits. It depends upon how I cultivate. Just to give an example, suppose I become very, very affectionate and friendly to you. This is what I am cultivating. What am I cultivating? Affection and love. I sow affection and love, goodness, unselfishness in you. Then what fruits do I get? Then I get love, abundant of love, abundant of affection, abundant of selflessness, abundant of everything in this world. Is it not wonderful? So whether it is a human being, or a dog, or an insect, or a tree, because even a tree also is a living being, a river, a mountain. That's why in India, everything is filled with the spirit of God. Every river is a goddess or a god. There is only one god. There all female votes are more. All the rivers are female, excepting only one, Brahmaputra. Somewhere in the world he left there. All the mountains, Himagiri, Meru Parvata, all these names are given. Every tree is a sacred tree. This Bilva Patra, this Tulasi Patra, and this Patra. Everything is has some usefulness. Every plant, every flower, every fruit, in some way it is useful for us. We don't know. We haven't discovered many things. You say this is poisonous. But that poisonous fruit itself, according to medicine, may be the best fruit for our health. So everything has some good usage, but we have to cultivate it. What is the meaning of cultivation? How you establish your relationship with a particular thing, that reflects back. Let me put it this way. Imagine the whole world, including the body and mind, a mirror. And you stand in front of that mirror. And what will come out? My own reflection, isn't it? My own reflection. But it won't come out as I am. It will come out according to the relationship I cultivate. Suppose I hate this person. That is a mirror. What does the mirror reflect to me?
You hate yourself.
Yes, like a laser beam, you know, or radar beam. Echolocation. A wonderful thing, I think I told you, in case you have forgotten. When I went to Detroit 2 years back, one devotee's house I went, and he had a toy. And that toy has a tape recorder. It is like a bird. So whatever you utter to it, it will repeat. So I said, in fun, you are bad. Immediately, you are bad, you are bad, you are bad. Went on echoing. How wonderful it is, I learned my lesson. I should not say, you are wonderful Swami, if I say, you are wonderful Swami. It would have, but it was too late. It won't stop until you switch it off. What a wonderful toy. Pure Vedantic truth. Yes, it is the Vedantic truth. If you are friendly, you will get friendly reflection. If you are having negative emotions, it will reflect. This is how we have to cultivate in the proper way. That is the example given here. So this is the lesson. This 13th chapter is giving to us. Everything excepting me is a field. And I am the only cultivator. Now why is it said I am the only cultivator? This doubt normally, naturally, instantaneously comes. You know why? If I say this carpet is a field, I am the cultivator, we can understand. Because it is a lifeless thing. If I say you are a field, then you say, but I am also a field. I am a field, you are a field, every living creature is a field, cultivator. Every living creature is both a field as well as a cultivator. This doubt comes, but what was the Lord saying? There is only one cultivator, everything else is cultivable land, kshetra. How do you understand it? One simple. I do not know what effect something is having on you. All that I know is what effect I am experiencing for myself. Is it right?
Yes.
Even if I think you are smiling, it is my opinion of your smiling. I don't know why you are smiling. No, one of our Swamis, he went on a European tour. Somewhere in France, he became friendly with a man. And they were trying to, the man was always cautious, Swami, be very careful about your purse. Here, you know, so many pickpockets were there. So he traveled, both of them traveled for days together. Then they went to Italy. And the man went on, one before sleep, be careful and don't give it to anybody. And one day the Swami had to go to toilet. So he handed over, you please look after this purse.
Oh.
And that was the last he saw both his friends. We do not know what the others, what is happening to others. I only know my idea of what you are. Is that point clear? That's why, so far as I know, I am the only cultivator. But the truth is, there is only one cultivator. What is that? Who is that? God is the only cultivator. And everything else is a field. This whole Maya. Mayadeshwara, the Lord of the Maya, is the one cultivator. But the Maya in varied myriad forms, she is the field, cultivable field. The Lord is sporting. Beautiful song, remember? Khelati Brahmande Bhagavan, Khelati Brahmande Shabda Sparsha Rasa Dika Matre Sattvika Rajasa Dama Samishe Khelati Brahmande. How many people were khelling? Only one.
Yeah.
But such as Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha and all these things. What are the instruments through which I cultivate? There are five instruments, main instruments. What are they? Pancha, Nanendriya. They are the knowledge bringers. Through this, from the minds. And then I go on interacting. Cultivating means interacting. I am the only one. Or the Lord is the only one. He is there in you, He is there in me, He is there in every field. If you are a field, there is one. If I am the field, there is one. And this field is different from that field. But this cultivator is not different from that cultivator. Because how do you distinguish? He doesn't have nama and he doesn't have rupa. That's why the only word that can be used about this one cultivator is I. Only I. The moment you add something, that is a field. I will close it with one observation. That how do we know that I am the cultivator and everything else is the field? How do I know? Language gives the clue. What is the language? We use two words, I and mine. I is only one. Of whatever you can say my, that is not me. And my friend, my enemy, and my like, my dislike, my country, my religion. You see, whatever is mine, it somehow separates, sooner or later. That's why I say, this is my hand, this is my body. Because it is not me, it says bye. At some point, it says bye. Yeah, this is my hair. My hair, your hair. Then what happens? It is your hair. That's why it says bye. And for that you pay a lot of money. You know? What does it? You know, you pay more money, you pay more nicely. He says bye, 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 bye. How much money you are paying for saying bye bye? Without paying any money, I am saying bye bye. See, I am saving so much of money. Yeah, I told one lady devotee, you know, she came with colorful hair. Then I asked her, unfortunately, you know, she didn't like it. How much did you pay? She said, Swami, you should not ask, no, no, curiosity. She said, 150 pounds.
Oh my God.
I said, what? Oh, I could have done it for 10 pounds. You know, everything that you can say of my, it departs from you, because it's not me. Whatever is I, it never departs, that's constant. even that same thing is my mind, my thoughts, you know, my blood pressure, and all these things we say, what a wonderful thing. My blood pressure, thank God, it is not my blood pressure, it is your blood pressure. Whatever, this is the indication. I is constant, but whatever is my, see, because this my body, it was small, baby, my body, it was young, my body is middle-aged, and my body, old age. Whatever is my, it will go away. Is that point clear? And whatever is my, is a fear. And if we want to be happy, we have to know how to cultivate what we call my. If we cultivate rightly, it will give us tremendous happiness, helps us improve. If we do negative, we cultivate badly, then it will only give us dukkha, trouble, suffering, etc. This is the fact the Lord is telling in the very beginning. And He says, this body is the kshetra, and I am the kshetrajna. Then He says, sarva kshetreshu mam kshetrajna iti vidhi. All among all the kshetras, I am the only kshetrajna, means one who is the knower of the kshetra. Why did He say that? Because before cultivating anything, you must recognize it. If you are sleeping, can you cultivate? Can you see? You must know. If you must know your body, if you don't know your body, you will not cultivate. You see the point? Who recognizes the body? If you don't recognize the body, do you know that there is a body? You get the point? If you are not aware that here is a carpet, does the carpet exist for you?
No.
There is only one knower. Kshetra jna. Jna means knower. Ajna means ignorant. Ajna. Vijna means visesha rupena. He who knows better, more. So, kshetra jna means one who knows the kshetra. He is only one. But the kshetras are any number. Because you see, how many of you are sitting? I illustrate. Try to understand it. So many of you are sitting. Now, if I close my eyes, what happened to all of you? See, how wonderful. Same thing. See, everything is wonderful. And my life also is dependent upon you. Say, Swami, you are a good teacher. That's what you start with. And then slowly, go there. What happened to my teacher who, so far as you are concerned, I am gone. Do you see the point? If you do not cognize me, then I do not exist. To know something is existing is to cognize it. So first thing is, we cognize it. In that is included cultivation, etc. So, this is the beautiful chapter. I think I have more or less summarized what is the essence of what the Lord wants to tell us. Since this field is Dharma Kshetra and it is also Kurukshetra, whether you get happiness or unhappiness depends solely upon your way of cultivation. And how to cultivate? How many fields are there? How many fields are there? Just recollect.
Body,
mind,
everything else.
So I have to cultivate body, mind and everything else. What is the meaning of cultivating? Developing the right type of relationships. Developing right type of relationships entirely depends upon right understanding and attitude. And how to develop that particular prism or lens through which we cognize rightly and then cultivate in the right relationship is called cultivating certain types of qualities. So what happens when we develop those qualities? We will develop a lens through which we are able to correctly understand what the field is and how to cultivate correctly. And that's what he is going to tell us. And we will very briefly discuss. We have got two classes. I will do it tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening also. Tomorrow morning where?
Kiran's.
And evening?
Anjus.
So this is what we will do. Om Vasuti Vasutam Devam Kam Sachamuramadhanam Devadati Paramanandam Krishnam Vande